Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's Packer Week. Bears get back to work as they look to clinch the NFC North and get some revenge on Green Bay. Will the defense just shut down the Rams, keep Aaron Rodgers from beating them yet again? Meanwhile, Mitchell Trubisky had a rough one in his return. Who's worried? And the circus heads to Mexico City, and Jim Boylan gets to run a practice in a different country. Meanwhile, he has a supporter, and it's not from the leadership committee he established. It's from his boss, John Paxson. Meanwhile, Harper Watch continues. Now his agent is chiming in. We'll discuss Scott Boras' day at the winter meetings. And Joe Madden could have yet another new face on his coaching staff. But would hiring Grandpa Rossi be a good idea? Man, welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I hope you had a really good day. I'm David Kaplan. Panel for today's show. He's Jay Cohen from the Associated Press. He's Adam Johns. Great story up today on the Sun-Times website and in the paper on Matt Nagy and 9/11, the role played in his life. And Adam, of course, the beat writer for the Sun-Times. And my guy, Chris Bleck from ESPN 1000. All right, we got some breaking news. Kind of. Jim Bowden, who is as wired as any baseball analyst out there because he was a GM of two different teams, says the White Sox, in his opinion, are the front runners to sign Bryce Harper. What say you, Adam Johns?
The big question here is what graphic pictures did they send Scott Boras and Bryce Harper? Because that's everything. What did they send? What did Kenny Williams send to really sway this decision? I don't get it. Unless they're ponying up what we were talking before the show. What, $340
million? Well, $300 million.
Well, sign me right there if that's the offer.
Yeah, if you're the White Sox, it's going to be, I mean, more than Philly and Dodgers, it's going to have to be a huge number to get him to come here. But, you know, you get the sense, I was saying before, like the comments from the White Sox coming out of these winter meetings, very confident. There's a very confident undertone to them in the days. It wouldn't surprise me if this is true. I think all along a lot of people thought Philly signing McCutcheon may have taken them back out of that. So, yeah, I mean, it's a believable thing.
You know, people are kind of talking about winning on the field, how it might be too early for this White Sox club to actually start winning. But if you add a player like Bryce Harper, who says that in 2 years you won't be a playoff team? So I think the fact that they are the front runner, as is being reported, I'm not surprised at all because, Jay, you're right. The money is there. Why not? If you want to play in that end of the pool, you have the money, go for it. Try it.
Well, they're only the front runner, though, if
Did
Bryce
you
Harper.
Drop one of my analogies?
Always.
Someone listens.
Yeah, I know, right?
If the White Sox really are the front runner, though, then they must have something that Bryce Harper likes. You know, just listening to Boras' comments from there, he's doing his own research, or he's giving him tons and tons, millions of information for Bryce Harper to digest. So obviously, the White Sox, they've restocked their cupboard. They have all these top prospects. So obviously Harper likes what he sees in the White Sox farm system.
Well, it's got to be, for me, the White Sox need a brand, not a player. Bryce Harper's a brand. Manny Machado is a player, albeit a good one. They need a guy that everyone says, I want a 34 White Sox jersey. I want a Harper jersey. I want him to speak after the game. Right now, they don't. Who's the guy that you go, I got to talk to that guy?
I couldn't put any better if I said myself. I agree with you 100%. They need a guy who puts some electricity back in that ballpark.
They need a Mike Trout, a Bryant, a Rizzo. Somebody that the media runs right to and that the little kid goes, I got to get his.
And the thing about Harper, too, is there's a lot of stuff involved in here. The length of this deal will take him through, you know, career homer number 300, 400, 500. I mean, they're marketing and all kinds of opportunities for them to draw people down there that they haven't had before. And, like, you know, you mix that in with the guys they have coming up and stuff. And, you like you said before, if you're the White Sox, you can't, I mean, strike now. You don't know who's going to be. Does Arenado get to the market next year? I mean, when you have an opportunity to get a player like this and you have the money and you're the White Sox,
you go now.
Well, it's the right mix, right? Yeah. And it's all encompassing because to have a brand and a face of the franchise is different when you're not winning ball games. But it all makes sense because the young players will be coming up right as Bryce Harper's in his prime, which you hope is here in Chicago.
But it would be an amazing shot in the arm for a franchise who needs it desperately. Yeah. This would be, I guarantee you, that Brooks Boyer and his staff are together going, okay, here's the projections. If we get Harper, we could do this, this, this. We could sell that sponsorship. They could pay for a lot of that contract.
And it's just all the extra stuff that, comes with it. You can see the shirts right now. What, that's a clown question, bro. This stuff's going to take off all over again. It's a bigger city. Yes, they're the second team. The Cubs are the Cubs, but it's still Chicago. He'll still be in the spotlight. He's a superstar, can handle the spotlight, and there's room for him in Chicago.
And I think, too, this sets up, if you like sports, in this town, to have him here playing the Cubs over the next couple of years,
it's awesome.
It's a really fascinating thing.
All right, if they don't get him, if you're a Sox fan, and all of a sudden it comes out that he's going to forget the Cubs because I don't believe they're in play, but he goes to the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Phillies, who everyone thought was the front runner at one point last week, if you're a Sox fan and you've been taken to the altar and then, we didn't get either of them, is that worse than just never being involved?
No, I don't think so, because you're not there yet to really have the stakes. Like, this is just great. If they figure it out, this offseason's fantastic. But there were no hopes and dreams heading into it, because there will be another free agency period where you'll have money and you can spend and go out and get someone. It may not be Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, but there will be someone to come along who will be available. So I wouldn't be that concerned, because you're not there yet. It would just be a little premature of excitement to land Bryce Harper this offseason, but it's not like crushing if you don't get him.
Yeah, no, you absolutely need somebody. Yes, they should be optimistic. White Sox fans should be, with all these young kids coming up. Of course, that's how teams are built, but all rebuilding processes involve that big name signing. It's, they need their John Lester, their version of John Lester on the South side. So maybe that's not Bryce Harper, but it has to happen down the line.
All right. We'll get back to more baseball in a little bit, but again, that news was just breaking as we went on the air that Jim Bowden said that the White Sox, in his opinion, are the front runners to sign Bryce Harper. So we'll keep you posted, and you can follow along on our Sox Talk podcast here at NBCSportsChicago.com. All right, on to football. Bears host Packers on Sunday. Bears win, they clinch the division. They also clinch with a loss by Minnesota. But Adam Johns, this is your beat. There would be nothing greater than to beat Green Bay here, clinch the division over your arch rival who has kicked your you-know-what for so long, and to do it in front of your crowd.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be anything.
And let's not forget, it completely eliminates the Packers from the playoff conversation, too. Because, of course, up there they still have that hope of running the table, sneaking in. Remember, that's how they won the Super Bowl that year. So this completely eliminates them. You win the division. Quite a turnaround. Yes, it seems just too good to be true, but the Bears are favored. They should win this game. They're the better football team. They may not have the better quarterback, but you know what? They should be able to get to him.
Adam, you're right. The rivalry stuff is fun. The clinching the division stuff and clinching into the playoff stuff, that's all great and grand. But I think the key is cutting the head off of the Friday the 13th Jason, which is the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. If you can eliminate them from all the conversation, that to me is the biggest thing. Because if you, for some reason, have to run into him in the playoffs, I would be worried about that, because Aaron Rodgers is so good.
You have to slay the dragon. Just to compare it to like other teams in this city, like the Blackhawks eventually did it to the Red Wings, I think, in their second cup, right? The Cardinals were eventually nixed by the Cubs. You have to slay the dragon that's
Bulls,
in your
Pistons.
Division. Yeah, Bulls, Pistons. And the Packers have been in the way of the Bears forever, seemingly forever, from Favre to Rodgers. They've dominated this rivalry. You have to slay the dragon.
It's an interesting arc, too, given what happened in week one with them coming back to win, and then here you are like a couple months later and you have a chance to beat them at home to get the playoffs. It's interesting, to like the ebbs and flows of the season. I know it's a big deal around here, but I think if you like the Bears and it's been a couple years against the playoffs, you just want in. It's nice and all, and there's great talk and stuff like that, but winning the division is a cool thing against anybody, really.
I want Coach Boone from Remember the Titans. I want Coach Yost right down there turning, run it up, Herman, leave no doubt. I want to bury them.
Yeah.
Bury.
Yeah. They should. Let's be honest. I don't care what happened last week against the Falcons in the first game without Mike McCarthy. Look, a lot of teams are pounding the Falcons these days. That's a team that could have some turnover, major turnover at the end of the season. And look, the Packers – you should be able to handle them. You have the better defense. Yes, Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers, but what you did against the Rams and national television should give you a lot of confidence going to this one.
So, Cap, the key is the defensive line needs to get to Rodgers, right? Remember towards the end of Brett Favre's career with the Packers how the Bears started to get to him and they would knock him out of games and they would hit him hard? That's what you have to do to Aaron Rodgers, because you watch that Falcons game, Aaron had time, and he made throws, and he made them look really bad. I know their defense isn't very good, Atlanta's, but
– but Aaron's, you know, a great football player.
He is, but you have to hit him. You have to take him out. And that – if you want that running up the score and just burying the Packers, it starts with Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks. And they need to do it on Sunday.
Yeah. I will say this. I think they will design around that. I think what you're going to see, though, I mean, Roquan Smith and some of these linebackers are coming pretty hard, and I think you're going to see a lot of that on Sunday.
I hope. Here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. After his performance against the Rams, are you concerned about quarterback Mitchell Trubisky? No. A little? Definitely. Or Dan Orlovsky? All in. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. So we had Dan Orlovsky on the radio today. He is a bigger backer of Trubisky than I am. And he said there is no team in the NFC, if you consider defense-quarterback combination, that he's more confident in other than Drew Brees and the Saints than Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears. Tommy Waddle took exception and said, what about Seattle with Russell Wilson? There's a few in there, but he was really bad last Sunday. What's your take on him
now? How about having the second overall pick, this talented quarterback who threw six touchdowns earlier this year against Tampa Bay, who's looked good against Detroit and other teams, kind of being a wild card in all this? It's quite something to have going into this. I mean, if you're talking about them making a playoff run, they're only making that run, yes, because they have this defense, but also because Trubisky is developing. He's improving. He's making big-time plays and big-time games. So, yes, he did not look good against the Rams. That was a very bad game, arguably his worst game this year. But you know what? He was coming off a two-game layoff. That's his first game testing on his injured throwing shoulder. It was a cold game, prime time, a lot of emotional factors playing into it. And he still wasn't the worst quarterback on the field. So to have him as your wild card, if you're the Bears or a Bears fan, I would feel good about that.
So if I was going to vote, and Cap, I think you know how I'm going to go with this, I would vote a lot because – Adam, as you said, the thing that's holding them back from being the best team in football is the quarterback and Mitch Trubisky. And I think the one thing we know about Mitch is this. He's not as bad as Chase Daniels. He's not as good as Patrick Mahomes. And he's probably somewhere in the middle, right? And I think we could all agree on that.
That's like a country mile between those two. I mean, you realize that, don't you?
But when you look – well, that's a good question. I think when you look at it, the way this team is designed, the defense is good enough to win a Super Bowl. Now, whether or not Mitch can figure it out over the next couple of weeks and in the playoffs and not screw it up, that's going to tell us whether or not this team can get to the Super Bowl. He may do it, but he also may not, because when he's played really good defenses, Minnesota and L.A. recently, he hasn't looked very
good. I just think in the grand scheme of things, that's okay. He's supposed to screw up at times in his second year.
It's okay if you're developing on a team that's going nowhere. If it happens in the divisional round,
it's
going to be a
problem. I'd rather have a guy who's developing on a winning team.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't disagree.
Patrick Mahomes, what he's doing is so absurd. I mean, there was a stat the other day when he was going into his game last week. He had 41 touchdown passes. Combined, that's what Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady had on the entire season. The numbers he's producing are just absurd. You don't see seasons like this ever, and we'll see what he eventually becomes. I just think it's okay to accept that Mitchell Trubisky is going to have his ebbs and flows in the first season of a new offense in his second year in the NFL. I think accepting that's okay.
I don't want to give you a spoiler alert, but I mean, I think as I sit here today, I mean, I think, you know, they're going to go on. I think they're going to get the playoffs. They will win a game. They're going to lose down the road. And honestly, as I sit here today, I think Trubisky will be the reason they lose down the road.
Right.
But I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, this is a second-year quarterback in his first year in the system, and nor do I think it will portend anything about his ability to win the Super Bowl down the road with this team. What it portends is he's a young kid who's learning his way through the NFL, who's going to make his first playoff start this year probably. So, you know, I think with him, I think, you know, watching what he's doing, he's going to have his ebbs and flows. I would notice, and I would love to hear what you guys have to say, it seems to me like when he's off, he's long, he's high in a mechanical way.
Yeah, he's saying over-amped last Sunday, which I'm sure is possible. But there have been throws, and again, I'm a Mitch backer. I like him. I'm glad he's our guy. But there have been some throws where I'm thinking, Dude, that guy was wide open. Yeah. How are you missing him that badly?
Well, I think it's a specific thing. I'm telling you from watching him, and you watch more than I do, it seems like when he's off, he's long, and he's long in a way that I think is mechanically based. And I think you hear Nagy sometimes hint around that there's sometimes they have to remind him to do certain things with his motion. And I may be wrong there, but that's
He said he was rushing his footwork a bit in terms of those overthrows. Yeah, so there are some mechanical-based things. But I tell you what, just talking to people around the team, they'd be more alarmed if he wasn't seeing that open guy.
Right.
Right? If he's throwing it at the triple coverage. I know he's had interceptions that way this season, but some of these overthrows, they're willing to swallow them. And it could be a tough swallow, but at least he's seeing the open guy.
All right, Jim Boylan got to live out his childhood dream earlier today. He got to run an NBA practice in a different country. Bulls and their leadership committee are in Mexico City to face the Magic. Boylan's methods might be loco, but he has one supporter. It's a key one. Nice. It's his boss.
For Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Join us tomorrow night, 8 p.m. for Bulls Pregame Live on location at Harbee Liquor and Tavern in Pilsen. Chris Black loves that spot. Yeah. Join Mark Schanowski, Kendall Gill, Will Perdue, and Horace Grant as they get you ready for the Bulls and the Magic from Mexico City. That's Thursday at 8 p.m., Harbee Liquor and Tavern in Pilsen. As for the Bulls, guess what they did today? That's right, they practiced. Jim Boylan worked out his team, including his leadership committee in Mexico City, ahead of their game with the Orlando Magic. While everyone's criticizing Boylan for his coaching philosophies, he has at least one supporter, his boss. John Paxson spoke to reporters earlier today in Mexico and said, quote, "There's so much noise, so much negativity, I don't feel it inside our building or our locker room. As crazy as it may seem, it's actually been a good week for us for the long term. Jim has come in and set his tone. This is a different day and age than back when I played, so players have more voice than ever before. But it's something that can be worked on and worked out. And Jim has a real open mind to all these things." When he was asked if he's worried about the players who suggested boycotting and splintering from the group, Paxson and said that's his guard's job to handle that. "I kind of have to laugh a little bit about these things, because when did it become a bad thing to practice a little bit harder? Offseason, I see all these things from players on how they're in the gym 2-3 times a day. Well, if we want to have them in our gym for 2 hours working hard, I think that's okay." All right, so I ask you guys your thoughts on double down. John Paxson completely backs his guy. I get that, but it's a different time today.
Yeah, I just think, this is a team that's sort of angled for next summer to spend money, and what they've done is put a coach in power who's already run afoul of his players, and anybody who potentially they would want to come here has seen that and will have equally or more attractive offers. So I don't understand exactly what they're trying to do here. If anything, they're kind of doubling down on the young players they have, and time will tell, I guess.
See, Chris and I talked about it on the radio. Here's my take. I have no problem with a bunch of 20-somethings who've made nothing in terms of success in the NBA being forced to work a little harder after a 56-point loss. That's fine. But if you think that you're going to pick up the phone and talk to Kevin Durant, Kemba Walker, Kawhi Leonard, and I can keep going and go, "Hey, this is the Chicago Bulls. We can't outbid you because there's a salary cap in this league, unlike baseball, but we'd really like to have you come here," you're out of touch there.
Okay, so Paxson's statement, right, that he said today, kind of takes a shot at the media, right, about the practice commentary. Here's the thing. I don't think anyone is saying that practice is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Practice is fine. The problem with the whole situation and the reason why players wanted to possibly boycott practice was because after a back-to-back, they were forced to run suicides at the end of a practice, which is unheard of in the NBA. The most important thing you have is the players on the floor, right? And preserving their health. Running extra after a back-to-back is crazy.
And
if you don't understand this, that's the problem with the franchise, right? Because, listen, Practice isn't bad. Practice all you want, but be smart about it. Take care of your players. And in fact, two of your highest paid players have had major knee injuries in the last 2 years, and you're having them run sprints after back-to-back? It's crazy.
Sounds like someone was watching Kurt Russell and the Miracle.
Again.
Cap and Trouble. Okay.
I made him play the audio.
Yeah.
So he hasn't watched that movie.
What? Oh, jeez.
You want to do this now, Cap?
Yeah.
I know the events that took place. I just haven't seen the movie.
Again.
Yeah, right?
The movie's great, though.
Blow the whistle.
Yeah.
So I've heard. But you guys understand the point, right? The practice isn't the issue. It's the chestiness and trying to intimidate by saying that we know what we're doing. Well, actually, running your players crazy after a back-to-back isn't the smartest thing to do. What do you like? Well,
I think that the chestiness has a time and place in the NBA, and I don't mind, especially his personality. But you have to be strategic about it. Like all great coaches, like the alternative, like after they lost to the Celtics, they got whitewashed. He should have gone in there, destroyed a couple of whiteboards, and left the damn locker room in like a red, and gave them less, and then walked into the press conference and said, "I'll tell you exactly what I told them. They were terrible tonight, and I was embarrassed." And then gave them that day off. You have to be smart about how you exercise these sort of things.
All right. Joe Maddon might have to replace yet another coach. Brandon Hyde is about to be named new manager in Baltimore. So should he add a grandpa to his bench?
Get all of your Blackhawks news in the palm of your hand with the My Teams app by NBC Sports. The best place to stream the games, watch highlights, read articles, and more. Download the My Teams app today.
Okay, so with Brandon Hyde looking like he will be named manager of the Orioles, should the Cubs add David Ross to their coaching staff as their bench coach if he's interested? What do you think?
I'll say this. If we're learning one thing about the Bears turnaround, it's that vibe, culture, energy, all that matters to a team's success. So if he improves all of the above, we saw what happened a couple years ago with him there, and absolutely you do.
But can you go from a player to a coach and still command that same respect?
Well, all reports say that he kind of was a player coach his last year with the Cubs. So I think he absolutely could. I think he's one of the few players who could just move right over.
Oh, I think there's no question. If he wants it, it's his. And I think he'd be a very good choice. I have some questions about, you know, with his family situation, if he really wants it. I will say this. If it's not him, look, young, recently retired players. That's what they always looked for in that position. And I think that's what they'll look for now. Mark DeRosa, I think, is another name to watch. I think I've heard Raul Ibañez, some of the guys like Jesse.
Raul Ibañez is a name I have definitely heard.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely commands respect to just how he learns to adjust his new situation coming down on guys.
Do the Bears win?
Yes.
Do they cover six?
Yes.
Love you. That's a wrap for Sports Talk Live presented by the Chevy Silverado. Take that, Green Bay. Blackhawks pregame live is next. Remember, Blackhawks and Penguins tonight on NBCSN. Have a wonderful evening. Pat Boyle and the guys coming up. We'll see you tomorrow.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.